Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 97.9 The Wren. The wake-up call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks everybody for being here with us again this week. We're going to talk about a program at UVA that's important to our community. Youth and Social Innovation Program. Its director is with us, Professor Melissa Levy. She's also an assistant professor at UVA. We also have a recent graduate of the program, Juliana Parra. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Well, I'm interested in what the program does and how both the youth in our area benefit and are affected, and how the UVA students learn and use the Youth and Social Innovation Program and how it was put together. So Professor Levy and Juliana Parra, a recent graduate, I appreciate you both being here today to help us learn about this. So Professor Levy, let's start with you. How did the program get going at UVA? Because it seems like this is something that I would think of as a couple classes, not an entire program.
Sure. So it started for, I think there was a convergence of a few different things. We noticed that there is a whole world out there of employment, of work that involves youth, but isn't necessarily being a classroom teacher. And also there was a lot of interest in UVA students to do work with or on behalf of youth in some way or another, but not necessarily through a teacher certification route. And we already had at the School of Education and Human Development a lot of, we already had some coursework, we had research projects and centers already happening. There was a lot of work already going on that could support creating a major for students who had this interest of working in this youth sector in some way or another. And there's really just a ton and a broad array of options in that field. So that's where kind of there's this convergence of this need kind of out in the world, and then also among UVA students, the kind of work they were interested in doing. Previously, if you had an interest in working with youth or just focusing on youth in general, you could either could do the teacher education program at UVA, or maybe find some youth-oriented classes in different departments at UVA. So that's how it came to be.
So is this a program where you still major in the career or field that you have your interest in? You mentioned employment beyond teaching. So if we're talking about healthcare or legal issues, or I don't know, I'm sure we'll get into so many others, that you can focus on getting that degree, but you're in this YSI program because it's youth focused?
So the Youth and Social Innovation Program is a major in and of itself. So you major in youth and social innovation, and you get a Bachelor of Science in Education from the School of Education and Human Development. There's kind of a common view that the School of Education and Human Development at UVA is only about teacher preparation, but there's actually an array of programs both at the undergraduate and graduate level that aren't that are about teacher preparation. So it's actually a major in and of itself. And there are, in the program, there are focus areas that students can choose to take. Our three focus areas are our youth development, our policy, and innovation. And so students can choose to take more courses in one of those, one or two of those areas to get kind of dive a little deeper. But it, in and of itself, it's actually its own major.
Juliana, you're a recent graduate. Can I ask what field, career field you moved on to after your graduation?
Yeah, of course. I started off upon arriving at UVA, was very interested in policy, and it was always with the focus on youth in some capacity, whether that was working with minority youth or working in some sort of education policy work. So that was my initial focus when I first started in the Youth and Social Innovation Program, or commonly known as YSI. And then it became a lot more youth development focused as I realized that would kind of open a few different opportunities to really think about how different issues and different challenges in our society affected youth directly. So kind of took that, and I am now working in education research. So definitely the courses that I took and the skills that I learned within YSI have helped me kind of always have a youth-centered approach, which provides a really interesting perspective when looking at different challenges within my research to make sure that the students are always at the center of our answers.
And when did you end up graduating?
I graduated May 2020.
So just in time to be focused with policy on decisions related to the COVID virus.
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting for sure.
I'm sure we'll talk about that throughout the hour again as we talk about the Youth and Social Innovation Program at University of Virginia with the program director and assistant professor at UVA, Melissa Levy, and Juliana Parra, who's a recent graduate of the program. So when I was doing a little homework for the show, I found that there were three foundational cores are listed for the program that seemed pretty interesting. Professor, why don't you get us started on those cores, and the three of us will talk about those.
Sure. So we have, the program has evolved. So it's a relatively new program. We started in 2014. And actually, I thought I would mention this too. There is, our program has a unique name and a unique bent, but there is a family of majors called youth studies majors across the U.S. and across across the ocean as well. And a lot of the programs in the U.S. has different kinds of names, but kind of youth-focused majors. And YSI, as Juliana mentioned, we usually refer to it as YSI for short, falls into that category. So we consider the YSI major to have these three core areas. We also call them the focus areas in the major that students get some content in our core classes, but then they also dive a little deeper into focus areas of choice for them. So one of them is youth development, sort of understanding how the processes that are involved in youth and growing up and developing. Social innovation is one of our areas, focus areas, one of our core areas of the major. And then policy, which Juliana was talking about a little bit, whether it's education policy or other kinds of policy that's relevant to youth. We also have, which isn't one of our, we don't identify as one of our focus areas, but Juliana mentioned this as well, that she's working in research. And that's a key component of our major as well, where students get exposure to and learn about research, different kinds of research around sort of how to conduct research, how to consume research that involves youth. And I don't know about you, but I, until a very, you know, relatively old age, conceived of research as being someone in a white coat, lab coat at a station with petri dishes. And it's so much, there's so much more. And we've had a number of students who have come in not thinking that they would have any interest in research and then realize what it could actually entail and then have ended up pursuing work in that way. I don't know what Juliana's image of research was when she started the program, but I don't know if she knew that she would end up working in research.
I was about to say, I am the poster child for that spiel.
My vision of...
I did not think I was going to end up loving it.
Research in this sense is sitting deep in the library with a pile of books beside you and your nose flipping back and forth from one to another. So, Juliana, what is the research that you're doing as put forth by the YSI program?
Yeah, I think what stands out to me about education research is it's collaborative and it's personal. We all had some sort of education experience, and we all have our own opinions, our own stories that we can share that really mold our ideas of what a classroom looks like, what a relationship with your peers or with teachers should look like, what a effective and conducive learning environment, and what are these factors that help us learn and grow. So I think kind of coming in with that angle, it really helps you feel kind of like you're making that whole impact when you're looking through the research, when you're spending those hours sifting through books and on the internet for these answers, is you already have an idea, a bit of a foundation of what the solutions are. So for me, I think what has been interesting, especially as you mentioned, kind of graduating during this time of that being in a pandemic, and it's a complete unknown. So all we really know is what it used to look like in the classroom and doing our best to find the best strategies and best practices to make sure students are still having a, if not typical, a new normal experience in the classroom. So it's been a lot of conversation. It's been a lot of collaboration with other research centers, other schools, et cetera, to really figure out what this new normal is for students that's going to kind of create what our idea becomes about education.
The two of you, the mention is that the three foundational cores, one of them is social innovation. I'm curious about innovation because it seems like so much of our current culture is divided, and that innovation isn't always accepted. And so can you tell me about how innovation is looked upon, not in the program, but with if you're in the school system, if you're in the workplace, do you have any feedback that you have to work with there to help the youth?
I don't know if this directly answers your question or not. But when we, because you mentioned not so much what we're thinking about in the program, but that's definitely the frame that I'm coming to this with, we really focus on who is being affected by whatever, and what youth in particular is being affected by whatever issue it is that you're exploring. So I think a key component of innovation is that it involves the people coming up with the innovation, involves the people who are affected by it. I don't know if this is what you're getting at, Rick, that often, you know, if an innovation is just kind of put upon us or handed to us, there can be some resistance. And to me, this is a different approach to innovation, and we use, there are different names for it, but we use some principles from design thinking or human-centered design in how we approach innovation in the YSI major.
I saw that under the social innovation foundational core, it lists enhancing youth development through systematic approaches to developing and refining youth experiences or programs with attention to what works for different youth in diverse settings and contexts. Different youth in diverse settings and contexts. Is that phrase talking about different ethnicities, different socioeconomic status levels? Because not every youth can be cookie cutter, and you can't have one answer for everyone?
Yes, it is. It's referring to the fact, yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It's important to us in the program to recognize and value the diversity of youth along whatever access we're talking about, whether it's class or race or ethnicity or ability, gender, sexual orientation, etc. And also the diversity applies to the different, we're also talking about different kinds of settings and contexts too. So whether you're talking about in a classroom, in a public school, or talking about an after school setting, or perhaps medical setting for children. We're thinking about different places where you find youth as well. This is an important piece, but not just in a classroom in a school.
I think if anything, I would also add is that when I think of being innovative or innovations, I think of inclusion in terms of what do we have now that could be done better, you know, kind of what's missing, who's not at the table, whose voice needs to be amplified. So it's almost just refining and reshaping to meet the current needs, whatever they may be. I think a lot of times with innovations nowadays, you kind of think of technology and, you know, how to reach more people, how to offer more opportunities in that sense. And it's continuing to build on ideas that already exist, but being different, being new, and being more inclusive to make sure a broader population has equal opportunity.
Is there an example of a program that has or something in the YSI program that has been done in our local community for social innovation?
Oh, great question. Juliana might have something in mind at the moment, but one of the components of the YSI major is the capstone experience for YSI majors. And it has been a semester long experience, but now we're expanding it to a full year for our majors in their fourth year. And those students work in teams with a community partner on some project that is benefiting youth in some way. And a number of those are in the local community.
All right, let's take a break. But when we come back, I want a little more explanation on capstone, because I've heard the word, but I don't know that I know what it does or who it is, etc. So Sunday morning wake-up call. Youth and Social Innovation Program, Professor Melissa Levy, Juliana Parra, a recent YSI graduate. Be right back. And here we are, Sunday morning wake-up call, talking about the Youth and Social Innovation Program at UVA, what it does, how it works. Professor Melissa Levy with us, Juliana Parra, recent graduate. Juliana, we were talking about the capstone work. Can you tell me what that is and take our break? And so Professor Levy didn't really get too deep into it.
Yeah, as far as the details go, Professor Levy can definitely add to the specifics in terms of its structure. But for me, it was an opportunity. My last year of undergrad before graduating, it was a semester-long project, a hands-on project where the students were fully involved in the whole creative and research process. We all are allowed to pick a community initiative or program within the Charlottesville community that we're passionate about and want to support and do work with during that semester. We have a community partner that works alongside us and kind of gives us an idea for what they're looking for, the challenges they might be experiencing, or the what they would like to be, what they'd like to see to be done at the end of the semester, kind of where they're going, which allows us students then to use the different skills that we've learned, to use different resources, and to collaborate with each other to help this community initiative move forward in some
way. So what was yours?
So it's, oh boy, got a thing 2 years ago.
Who was your community partner?
It was a initiative through UVA that was designing this website that was going to provide different figures, civil rights movement figures for students, so they could really gain a better and bigger understanding of who those players were in making those differences in social reform. Back in our history, we know you learn about Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks in your typical history course, but it kind of ends there. So the idea was to provide more names, more examples for students so they could kind of see how these leaders shaped our history and can maybe see themselves reflected in these different leaders. You know, it's not just those that make the history books, but those that worked to do a lot of the groundwork as well.
Very interesting. So one of the other foundational cores that was mentioned is youth development and youth growing up and developing, just quite that simple, simply defined, I should say. So I'm curious, from the two of you, some positive and negative setting influences.
Could we go back to the capstone class in one of our other projects before we answer that question? I just wanted to add, as Juliana said, it was a semester-long experience when she was a student, and we've expanded it, and now it's a year-long experience where students work in teams with a community partner on some sort of project that's benefiting youth in some way. And Juliana worked with has worked with the capstone class, not just as a student, but in other capacities as well. And she is pretty familiar with one of the projects that we started with in the capstone class and then is continuing on in subsequent years as well, called the Youth Action Lab. And Juliana, I don't know if you could say a little bit more about that.
Sure. The idea with Youth Action Labs is giving students the opportunity to get experience in research, kind of like we mentioned at the beginning. I think for a lot of us, when we think of research, we think of the white coat and the petri dishes. So it's really expanding on this idea that research is all around us and that we can be kind of, you know, our own playmakers in trying to see the challenges around us day to day and finding solutions for those challenges. So through Youth Action Labs, it's teaching students. Right now, I think the main focus of the Youth Action Labs is with high school students within the Albemarle County area, but trying to teach them about research methodology, about how to conduct research, how to ask questions, how to, you know, really dig deep and try to figure out what these solutions are and how to then present their findings to try to make that active change. So it's really all about giving youth a chance to find their voice and to then voice those opinions to make the change that they directly want to see within their school communities or their overall communities. So it's really powerful work, and I was really excited to be able to continue to work on it even after graduation.
And when I believe, Juliana, am I right that this past fall semester, during sort of the height of the pandemic, that one of the first Youth Action Lab experiences with high school students actually took place virtually with the support of the YSI
We started a little bit of the curriculum writing back when I was still working on the project. And I think given the virtual shift, it might have had a few tweaks to, you know, deal with the new changes and challenges that was going to bring. But that sounds right to me that this was actually able to be piloted to, and I would love to know how it's going. If there's a way to follow up on that. Yeah.
Yes. And we're continuing work with them in this year's capstone class as well. And I'm thinking, I think there was the reason I keep adding the I think piece is because I haven't been the instructor for the first semester, which was the primary semester of the capstone previously, but I will be this coming year. So my familiarity with each of the individual projects is a little hazier, but I believe there was a project too where some of our students worked with the Charlottesville Youth Council on a project that they were doing as well and presented at a school board meeting together, or actually city council meeting together.
Yeah, that rings a bell for sure. Yeah, just a bunch of different opportunities from, you know, all over the place, working in all types of avenues from within the classroom to the curriculum development to the coordination amongst other programs and to, yeah, even talking to city council about different ways to kind of change a few, whether I think it was a few recommendations and suggestions for kind of teamwork and employee team building and things like that, I believe was sort of the angle that they were going in.
Well, let's talk about policy for a minute, because you've both mentioned something around policy in the last few minutes, and then policy is one of the foundational cores as well. So I'm curious how, especially Juliana, since you said you started the program with an interest in policy, mm-hmm. is at what point did you decide that, or let me rephrase this, did you go in there with policy as this grand scheme, and it needed to be tightened towards educational policy? Did you go in there knowing that you were in the education school, and so it was going to be dealing with school board and legislative policy for youth in the school system? I'm curious how taking the YSI program, the path that it led you on with your policy original interest.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, my kind of elevator pitch has always been wanting to make an impact and change in the lives of youth. That's what I've kind of led in terms of my professional pursuits. That's always been at the front for it, is just making sure that whatever I was doing was going to have some sort of change. And I think a lot of times when you think of the ways to make that change is you kind of start from the top down, right? So policy, how do we make these changes? Who do we need to talk to up top to then make sure that those changes are actually implemented when it becomes trickle down? So for me, taking a specifically education policy focused course within the School of Education kind of really set that foundation about, you know, how we got to where we are today, you know, what in our history, what different policies or situations have led to what our system looks like today. And while it gave me a great foundation in that sense, I still felt kind of distant from the work that I personally wanted to do and to get seen done. I am a big extrovert. I love working with people and working within the community and with the students directly. So for me, while I knew I didn't want to be in the classroom, I think kind of working in a government job also felt very separate. So it felt like I was putting policy and teachers on two different extremes. I was like, oh my goodness, what is this middle ground? Am I going to have to shake one way or another? And kind of moving that focus more towards youth development and just kind of having a youth-centered focus allowed me to find different avenues, like such as research, to use that as an example, and realizing that you could still make a direct change and kind of work in making these changes, and actually then working with those communities by showing them the research or implementing the solutions that your research found. So it's kind of a way to do both. So for me, after that course, while it gave me that rich foundation that I was needing in order to kind of move forward with what I wanted to do, it still kind of didn't allow me to sink my teeth into really wanting to be at the ground level than working with communities and with schools to make sure that those policies, when they would be kind of fully implemented, were being implemented as effectively as possible.
Professor Levy, if we're talking about policies in a youth and social setting, how long before, and Juliana is talking about making changes at the top. How long does it take to understand the effects of a policy change on a youth and the outcomes from that?
That is definitely out of my wheelhouse, but it's a great question because I think what you're getting at is that it's not a quick thing that you come to that you're able to come to a conclusion. I think, you know, one of the challenges in schools often there's this idea that different policies at the school level or district level can come pretty quickly. Like, this year you're doing this, and then we try this, and then we try this, without allowing enough time to actually see what impact a particular policy is having. So their education policy is not my area of expertise. So I'm not able to give you a sort of better answer for that question, but I think it's an important one and one that we don't pay enough attention to in how we go about implementing policy.
Juliana, have you worked with or studied with someone who has made comment on that question in your past?
As far as specifics go, I also don't have a full answer for that. I think there are a number of different ways, number of different policies in place that will take their own specific time, depending on, you know, how big the challenges that they're trying to improve upon. So I think for me, I can only answer that personally in the sense that a lot of my personal work ethic in terms of wanting to see things get done and see the students' lives kind of improve, it was way more quick than perhaps kind of working in that policy development was going to last in terms of, you know, creating the policy and really working with the different community members and schools and all those different stakeholders in order to make sure that that policy, whatever it was going to look like at its end, was going to be helpful and supportive for as many people as possible. I'm sure that process takes a long time. And like Professor Levy said, definitely out of my wheelhouse, just my understanding from it and just kind of made me want to find a different avenue where I was able to make a direct impact as well that maybe didn't involve having to be more so policy focused or kind of centered around that government sector.
Juliana was alluding to this idea too. I think that it also depends what the policy is, and it depends what level the policy is. Like, are you talking federal level or state level or district level? And that can make a difference as well as far as how long it takes us to really understand the impact. The No Child Left Behind legislation, for instance, really, there are years and years of studies on what kind of impact that had. And it's just not a simple or short process to even figure that out.
Especially with Juliana, you said you finished up in the program in 2020. And now we're talking mm-hmm. about policy, which was something that you focused on. There have been a lot of policy in regards to the COVID virus. I'm curious if this is in a teaching part of the program, if this is something you've learned elsewhere. Professor Levy, please jump in. How do you take on the challenge of debating for the youths versus debating for yourself versus some sort of neutral dialogue during a policy discussion?
That's a great question.
Yeah, Juliana, did you have more that you wanted to share there?
Not yet.
Okay, I will share my thought. I mentioned this earlier in talking about innovation and how central to how we approach innovation is thinking about who is being impacted. So I don't know that this question about neutrality, it certainly makes me think about the political polarization, that context that we're all existing in here in this country. And at the same time, I think being able to talk from experience and being able to bring youth into talking about their experiences is where we have some shot at coming to some shared understanding. This idea, again, of speaking from our own experiences and getting youth to speak from their own experiences allows for more dialogue, discussion, listening to happen than to come at the discussion with sort of a blanket statement.
All right. We are talking about Youth and Social Innovation Program. Our guest today, Professor Melissa Levy. She's the program director and an assistant professor at UVA. Juliana Parra. She is a recent graduate of the YSI program. Let's take a break, and we'll come right back. I want to talk about experiential learning, some of the programs where you send people out into the world to learn. Be right back. Thanks for being with us today on another Sunday morning wake-up call, talking about the YSI program. Professor Melissa Levy, Juliana Parra, a recent graduate. Ladies, experiential learning. Who wants to give me the definition? Professor?
Sure, I will start with that. So experiential learning is actually in contrast with simply receiving content in a classroom. It's actually doing of the work, the applying. And so the way we think about it most commonly in YSI is experiential learning with youth or experiential learning doing these, for instance, like these capstone projects that we were talking about, where you're doing actual work as opposed to simulations of actual work, which is, that's part of what we do in YSI and all sorts of education as well. But it's really important to us for students in our program to get actual experience. And we have all of the students take a class where they work with youth in some capacity during the course, whether it's through something that they've secured themselves. A lot of times students who are attracted to the YSI major already have youth involvements in some way, or students might be working with one of the Madison House youth programs, the volunteer hub at UVA. And then we also have something that we call YSI practice credits, where all of our YSI majors are expected to earn these practice credits through one of three ways. One is direct mentoring of youth in either the Young Women Leaders Program or the Men's Leadership Project, which are mentoring programs that match college students with middle schoolers in the area. Or they can get YSI practice credits through doing research with faculty at the School of Education and Human Development on whatever projects they're working on. And a third option for students is to get YSI practice credits through an internship that involves youth in some way.
So what is the, I'll use the word purpose, but why match with middle schoolers? Why not elementary school or high school?
So those, there would be ways for students to be involved in those in those sorts of programs that they exist as well. The reason we specifically have those two programs that are with middle schoolers is because those programs have been in existence before the Youth and Social Innovation major was created, and they're academic service learning programs that have an academic component with it at the same time that you're working with youth in the mentoring role. So there's a high amount of kind of this, you work with youth, you reflect, have formal mechanisms for reflecting on it. The research indicates that if you're doing this sort of work, which a lot of people do, you know, without some sort of formal component to it, mentoring or working with youth, the research shows that if you are doing some structured reflection, that makes it a much more robust experience for everyone who's involved. And so for us, it's important that if you're getting those YSI practice credits, that you're doing it through that mechanism, through that structure. But we don't have anything against mentoring elementary students and high school students. We're interested in that as well. And a lot of our students do that through other means as well, through other avenues.
I just didn't know if there was a specific academic reason for it. Juliana, which practice credit did you do?
I did research with a professor for a whole year. Her research was super interesting, and it was kind of how I first began to really dip my toes into research in general. She was looking specifically at trying to figure out a way to create more equitable disciplinary practices with middle schoolers, once again, and schools that had resource officers, and just how to streamline the communication between teachers, students, and these school resource officers to make sure students, all students from all types of diverse backgrounds, felt that they were being treated equitably at school when it came to disciplinary practices. So that was how I fulfilled half of my credits. Oh, so I must have done that then for a year and a half. And then I actually created my own internship opportunity within the School of Education and asked a professor of mine if he would be willing to include me as a teacher assistant for one of his courses, and that I would be able to tack that on as my practicum credit, since I was getting practice within the classroom, showing the skills that I had learned as a student and helping other students grow within their skill mastery. So was able to combine those and create my own internship within the program.
Can you tell me more about the research on the equitable disciplinary practices? What, when the study began, what was the theory or the understanding as to what was going on in the school system, in the classroom or at the schools?
Yeah, it was more so on my part, since it was my first experience within research. I did a lot of the backbone work, so it was a lot of a literature review, so kind of looking to see what previous articles and previous research showed about this particular topic. I was also able to do some transcribing of some focus groups that this professor with her other colleagues were doing, so kind of listening to these conversations that were going on and really kind of hearing the people's perspectives that were being impacted by this sort of research. And I think on my understanding and what I remember, since it was a long time ago, was it was making sure that while a way to it was a way to communicate with both the students and those that were in kind of more authoritative roles, that there was still a connection and that there was still the shared compassion for one another, where it didn't feel like us the students versus them the teachers, or them the school resource officers, them the administrators. And it was kind of working together to make sure that they felt it was like a shared collaborative community where they were able to learn in a positive environment, and making sure that discipline didn't kind of overrule that or kind of paint the picture that school wasn't just about learning and wasn't just about being with my friends or anything like that. So it's just kind of
really seeing how you could ensure that students were having a great experience in the classroom and just how to create more opportunities to do so.
So as we continue talking about experiential learning in the YSI program with the program director, Professor Melissa Levy and Juliana Parra, who's a recent graduate, I'm curious, Professor, I'll ask you, has there been or noticed to be any significant change? I realized that you said the program itself has only been going since 2014. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I would think that there's been study on helping youth as an entire concept a little greater length of time than that. Have methods for helping youths changed over time? And I'm curious if so, how, and if not, are there some constants?
Sure. Let me see if I can get at your, if this gets at your question a bit. One of the, an important concept that we talk about in YSI is positive youth development. So approaching youth as humans with assets and things to offer and contributions to make, as opposed to viewing youth. I think there are common views of, you know, teenagers as in particular as being layered at problems with teenagers. So one of the shifts is moving from this kind of deficit perspective of, you know, what's wrong with someone, to moving to a strengths-based perspective of what do youth have to offer, what strengths do they have. So that's one frame that I think of in particular that I think gets at your question.
Right. And I'm sure there's not a spot in time, some sort of particular marker when that switch happened, but are we talking about that took place in the 60s, in the early 2000s? Is there a research scientist that said, you know, we need to change how we're doing this?
I wouldn't be able to pinpoint it like that. Also getting outside of what my specific knowledge is about that, but over more recent, more like 20th century happening sort of over the latter part of it. And again, it's not, you know, it's not a wholesale shift either. There are different, I would say the field in general has moved toward this concept of prevention and, again, supporting youth assets and what strengths they have, moving away from that intervention when something is identified as wrong. But that is, it's also a spectrum as well, and it kind of depends what the topic is that you're talking about as well.
You've had quite a successful program in terms of what the graduates have moved on to doing, master's and PhD programs in school counseling, social work, public policy, law, education, psychology, project coordinators for youth-based organizations, the Legal Aid Justice Center, Office of the Appellate Defender, Peace Corps. How can you tell me? I mean, we continue to talk about the fact that they're focused. YSI is about youth, but I'm curious as to how the YSI helps in some of these offices, and some of them seem simple, but I'd like a little better description for myself and the listeners. How does the YSI help for someone who wants to get into mental health counseling?
Sure. So you get a in the curriculum, that the core curriculum that all of our majors take, you get this perspective of, again, this youth-centered perspective. And so that's kind of a general piece that's in our curriculum. And then there are also specific, there are courses for where there's an emphasis and practice in interpersonal, sort of those micro-level interactions with youth. So that would support someone who's interested in that field as well. There are the potential experiences that you might have as a mentor through the Young Men Leaders Program or the Men's Leadership Project or some other program as well. And then we also have their courses as well that students can take that focus on counseling.
How about somebody who's going into the Peace Corps?
So there's one of our core classes is on community engagement, and a significant part of that course is having students in that course who are interested in, you know, the students who are drawn to our major are interested, and Juliana mentioned this specifically, that she wants to make a contribution to youth. And the students who are drawn to our program are interested in making a contribution to youth or, you know, the world more broadly. There's that bent with our students. And in that community engagement course, there's a big focus on having students pick that apart a little bit. So what does it mean to make a contribution, and what frames are you coming into thinking you want to be someone who helps? What frames are you bringing with you? And are you viewing certain kinds of people as the ones who need help and other people as the ones who do the helping? And so we pick apart that a bit and help students in that class. And I teach that class, and so I am going through this process each semester myself as well. It's thinking about what are we bringing to whatever we're doing. So instead of sometimes the approach that people might have is just say, oh, I see this problem there. I know what to do to fix it. I'm just going to come in and, you know, bring my solution to you. And that is not a particularly useful way of going about work that you want to be effective. So we look at how to do work that would be, you know, Peace Corps-like as well in partnership. And in fact, in that community engagement class, we have a panel that comes in of returned Peace Corps volunteers as well to sort of talk about their experiences.
The beauty of the major is it's not linear by any means. You know, it's broad for a reason. It's tricky to define for a reason. And it's because at the center of it, like we've mentioned, it's just this focus for supporting and working with youth in some capacity. So a lot of the information that we're getting within our classes is to build that foundation for us as students to then go off and do whatever it is that we want to do with that, whether it is some of us do continue to go off in the classroom, some of us go off into research, some of us go to nonprofits, some of us continue our education, and then kind of finding that niche, whether it is psychology, social work, et cetera. But yeah, like it's truly not having, you know, only one path to go on, but a bunch of different doors to kind of go through to really figure out what is going to help us as, you know, individuals feel like we are making that difference that we all really want to do in the lives of youth.
So, Juliana, tell me, we got about 2 minutes left. What is, now that you're a graduate of the YSI program, what is your dream job and career?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know if I could explain it in 2 minutes because I am still kind of looking for it. Like I said, I am currently working in education research for a company headquartered in D.C., but I am actually headed off to London, England in September to pursue my master's degree. So I am just continuing to learn, to see what are those challenges that are out there, to kind of find that area that I want to focus on, so that when I come back from London. I really want to do my own research in terms of finding a organization or a company that kind of meets those goals and that mission that I have for myself, in terms of really working for youth in some capacity. As a Latina, I would love to do work with Latinx students, or different minority students, whether that's kind of working at a community level or working with administrators, with teachers, to create more opportunities for minority students to really see themselves as part of the successful journey that is receiving education.
Amazing. Well, we wish you success and happiness in London. So, Youth and Social Innovation Program, today, Professor Melissa Levy and a recent graduate, Juliana Parra. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope everyone will go to the UVA website or look it up and learn more about what the program does and the different volunteer groups where you don't have to be part of the program to volunteer at Big Siblings or Big Sister, Big Brother, summer programs, be a tutor for others and some youths in need of positive leadership in their lives. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Everyone have a great Sunday. See you next week.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on Real Oldies 97.9 The Wren. The Wake Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at cvillepodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for The Wake Up Call, only on 97.9 The Wren.